About the judges, we hear about politics. I don't know if they develop. We like these athletes or we don't like that one. We're all human.
Right.
Does that human quality play into likes and dislikes and prejudices?
I think it does, yeah. The way the rules are set up, which I think is actually quite good, is that any judge who's out of line with their scores, they're pulled off the floor. You throw out the low and the high, and you average the scores in the middle. In a way, you feel like there's four judges there deciding your fate. And I've been on the receiving end of good scores and bad scores. That's part of the game, and everybody knows that. In a way, I felt like at that point in my life, having been 16 years competing and 10 years on the national team, all these judges all over the world had seen me and they know my gymnastics. And in a way, I almost felt like I got a good score for the body of my work, you know? But that day I hit the best routine, so I'm proud of that. But at the same time, yeah, I think there's a lot of human factors that go into it. And they try to minimize it as much as possible with the way they calculate the scores. But because I had done so much for so long, I believe that I probably would get the benefit of the doubt. I think great gymnasts and great athletes do often get the benefit of the doubt, and probably I did a little bit that day.
So there is an aura that follows you that
I think so. Right? Yeah, and when you're new to the scene and you haven't yet paid your dues, I think it's harder to get some validation that you're as good as you are. Yeah.
Assessing your abilities, were you blessed with an enormous amount of ability? Or were you not blessed and worked very, very, very hard to get where you get?
I'm the overachiever guy. And I can say that because of the people, like I mentioned earlier, Tim Slotto, Kurt Thomas, these were the gifted. Even Mitch Gaylord, my teammate from 84, so gifted and talented that they just seemed destined to do gymnastics. I was the guy who had to work for it. So I wasn't necessarily the springiest. I wasn't necessarily the strongest or the most flexible. I wasn't best in any one of the categories, but I was good enough everywhere. And when you throw on top of that, that I was proficient at technique and I really studied technique and made it part of my core development, I was able to maximize whatever God-given talent I had. And I can tell you, there's a lot of gymnasts I saw over the years. I said, boy, if that guy would start paying attention, he's going to kill us all because they had the physical gifts. I'm confident that I got as much out of my gift as possible. Because I realize, and I'm grateful for the fact that I wasn't the chosen one, the gifted one. I was the one who had to work to be a champion. And I think that's why I value that so much.
Did you really like working out?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
You enjoyed, because a lot of athletes, you know, they don't really like that. They like the competition. But you enjoyed it, which helped you get to where you got.
That's right.
And Paul did not have to be hitting you on the head, so you got to keep going.
Yeah, I stayed the longest in the gym, and I was willing to get there early to work on some technique. And I think, in fact, when I look at kids these days and I try to inspire them, I talk often about that because I loved working out. Even the conditioning, which is sometimes brutal, because you know what's intoxicating is progress. That's intoxicating. And I wrapped my career around celebrating progress, even if it was just a little bit each day. Because I think it's so difficult if you tell a little kid, okay, train hard 4 or 5 hours a day for 16 years and you're going to go all the way to the top. There's just no way that can captivate anybody. But every day I would go home thinking, okay, I'm a little better here. That was a little bit better today. I could do better here. But I got energized by celebrating the progress. And I always ended up connecting myself with coaches who thought the same way. So even though I was not there yet, I felt like it was on my way every day. And that part is very intoxicating. Just, I don't know where it's going to take me. I'm going to go as far as I can go. But I took joy in the progress, not necessarily in the end result.
And it didn't have to be fast. It was slow, and that was okay on your part.
You knew it was. And that's part of my respect for the Japanese gymnasts. Most of the Japanese gymnasts were great when they were in their late 20s and 30s because they took the time to progress technically and develop correctly with the correct foundation. There's no fast, you know, in any area, whether it's in broadcasting or whether it's in education or business, there's no shortcuts.